Welcome to the FT Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 3rd of December, recording at 9:30 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, a soft day here in stock markets generally. Wall Street had its third consecutive day to the downside, obviously starting last Friday. There's nothing new about that, in that we've seen 3, 4, 5 days in a row down for the various big indices. We don't have much in the way of downward dynamics here. Actually, the Dow, which has risen less, is the one that's underperforming. It was down 94 points here today to 15,914. But what we can say is that the round number figures, remember 16,000 Dow, I've talked about that over the last month on occasion, the 1,800 figure for the S&P, which closed tonight at 1,795, and then that 4,000 level for the NASDAQ composite index. It's still above that at 4037 and holding up quite well, but again, overextended, overbought in terms of valuations, overextended relative to the 200-day moving averages. So we're at the stage now where a number of investment managers who are sitting on these terrific profits, nearly 26% up after today's decline by the S&P, up nearly 34% for that NASDAQ composite index. And at some point, more of these people are going to want to book those positions overall, despite the fact that they know that we still have a very big tailwind, the biggest ever tailwind, in terms of quantitative easing, QE, coming from the Fed. But we also know that the Fed would really like to wean the markets and the U.S. economy off QE, and they're really considering replacing it with something else. And it's everybody's guess as to what the Fed would actually replace it with, but there aren't all that many choices. They could give longer forward guidance on interest rates. That's always a little bit dangerous in case the economy picks up somewhat faster. They could lower the target levels for unemployment. I think that's also risky given all the smart machines that are helping to keep unemployment somewhat higher than it would otherwise be. So these are the various plays that we'll hear about for quite some time. I think certainly as we go into 2014, that the risks to the downside will increase. But I'll emphasize here that I'm not talking about any massive decline. But a little reminder here, it has been 544 days since the big Wall Street indices last saw a 10% correction. So it's certainly way overdue. We know the reason why it's way overdue. We can certainly thank quantitative easing for that. And we know that the Fed is pondering, working out how it can get out of QE. Or start tapering it, to put it that way. Now, the European stock markets have taken a hit over the last 2 days. Remember, back on Friday, they were really quite firm. They were up near the higher side of their trading ranges, which have been going on for at least a month and a half here. And some of them were doing better than that. The DAX index, for instance, the German DAX index, was very strong, but that had a very large downward dynamic in here today. The SX5E, that's that Euro Stoxx index of 50 major companies across the Eurozone, that had a big downward dynamic here today, down over 2.66%. DAX, well, it looked big on the charts, but I see it was only 1.9%. Well, but that's 1.9% given the overextended move to the upside. Certainly, as I say, looks like a big downward dynamic on the daily chart. And we had the French CAC to a decline today of 2.65%. So these are chunky moves, and they have certainly signaled that resistance has been near the upper side of these sideways trading ranges of the last month and a half. The resistance at the upper side of the ranges has been reaffirmed for at least the short term. And the FTSE MIB has, that's the Italian market, which is down nearly 2% today, that has actually fallen out of the bottom side of that range. So the short to medium term technical outlook in Europe has deteriorated here over the last couple of days, and that's in line with the choppy market environment that I've been looking for here for quite some time. Wall Street certainly hasn't seen anything choppy. It's been a model of demand-dominated upward trends, but they are very overextended, as I keep repeating. Japan was up again here today. The euro, I beg your pardon, the yen is a little less strong as of today. Remember, yesterday it was testing that 103 level against the US dollar. That's a weak yen down to 103 to the dollar. It's currently right now 102.50. But we did see those Japanese indices hit some new highs here today. Elsewhere in the Asian Pacific region, the Hang Seng index was down 0.5% or so, but the mainland Chinese indices are firmer. Usually it's been the other way around. Usually it's been the Hang Seng leading to the upside, along with the Hang Seng China Enterprise indices, Taiwan. They were the ones that were outperforming, but they're all a little bit lower in here today, whereas the Shanghai Composite was up 15 points. Looks steady overall, and the Shenzhen Composite was also higher. Most of the other Asian stock markets were a little bit weaker, including India, but only a quarter of a percent. And exceptions, Malaysia and Thailand slightly higher. Okay, long-dated government bond yields were edging a little bit higher here today. I think all the stock market weakness maybe has caused bond buyers, or caused people to move in or not short those bond markets quite so much in the short term. My overall view, as you know, is that we're in a ranging medium-term consolidation for these yield charts before they resume their move to the upside. But the Fed is very keen to delay that move to the upside, and they certainly have the power to do that and the influence to do that. But I think that influence will be limited to just a longer medium term, a lengthy medium term consolidation at best, before we next see some additional pressure to the upside. One thing that's holding back that pressure to the upside, aside from the QE, all the QE money that's going into that market, is the fact that there are still some deflationary signs in the global economy, and global GDP growth is generally soft, and that is very much in line with the not quite 5 years since that first quarter of 2009 recovery actually started. And recoveries for some markets started a good deal later, the European sector, for instance. Okay, now other developments in here today. Currencies, the dollar index is a little weaker, very much range bound overall. The currencies that have been underperforming the dollar, though, generally over the last few months, and in here certainly quite recently, have been the South American currencies, the commodity exporting country currencies, the Asian, many of the Asian currencies. I'm talking now about the ASEAN indices, for instance, and the yen's additional weakness has also spilled over into some of those other indices. So if you look at indices such as DXY, no, not DXY, the can't remember the Asian currency code. But the Asian and South American currency measures would show softening against the US dollar. Now, in the commodity markets, the main story here today was a small surge in the WTI crude price. That's currently up $2.66, still trading after hours, and that takes it WTI back up to 96.49. So we've got a small upward dynamic on that chart here today, and the main reason for that is that news of the planned Keystone pipeline start. Which will shift more oil out towards the towards the Gulf region. So the take on that is that we're likely to see that will benefit WTI prices, or lift WTI prices more than Brent prices, which is certainly logical. And therefore, people are expecting that spread to narrow in somewhat. Okay, elsewhere, if I look at additional commodity indices, industrial metals were soft in here today. What I do notice in the background, though, is that producers are gradually reducing supply. The big supply interruption, of course, came when Malaysia reduced the amount of tin exports, and that has caused tin to outperform subsequently, although it's been easing lower here over the last month or more. And there was talk today that Indonesia would be doing something similar to try to lift the nickel price, which has been right down on its lows for the year. But this is probably a lengthy process of a good many more months here, where you've got individual companies and also country producers before moving gradually to reduce supplies. What they do, of course, is hold out optimistically for stronger growth and a pickup in demand, but then eventually they find themselves under pressure to reduce exports, and then that does lower the supply and creates the conditions to lift prices overall, as I've discussed before. Now, having mentioned that crude price, a strong crude price rise, the WTI price, the Brent is also up $1.20 here today. That's 112.65. Food prices, in terms of the staple beans and grains, remain quite soft as far as the U.S. crops are concerned. The weakest one has been soybeans in recent months. Very sharp fall there. Corn and wheat are a little bit firmer today, but the rough rice has been firmer than the U.S. Than the other ones that I've just mentioned, than the corn, the wheat, and the soybeans. And that is up on the higher side of a broad range. And if it were to break up out of that pattern, I don't think it will actually, although I'm not all that familiar with the rice production data here right now. But a few of these commodities are breaking up out of their sideways trading ranges. If it were to do that, that would put some pressure on food costs in the poorer countries in Asia. So some downward dynamics would be useful for those countries. Pull the rice price back. I think that will happen since we are up near prior resistance. And on that note, all the very best to all of you. I'll just say one other thing is just thank you. Thank you. So many emails came in here in support of our efforts following my comment in the audio yesterday, and or was it the day before? And on that note, all the very best to all of you.